قبل وهو فلا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سلام على نوح في العالمين. إنا كذلك نجزي المحسنين. إنه من عبادنا المؤمنين. ثم أغرقنا الآخرين. وإن من شيعته لإبراهيم إذ جاء ربه بقلب سليم. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلى على محمد وآل محمد. InshaAllah, before I begin my lecture, just want to give one of the particular or the beautiful aspects about giving salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The Prophet stated that whenever his name is mentioned, he says, ارفعوا أصواتكم بالصلاة على محمد وآل محمد. So when you give the salawat and when you hear his name, then raise your voices and give salawat in a very loud voice. One of the benefits of this is that it actually brings that individual closer to you. The Prophet and his Ahlul Bayt. It reminds you of that example of Rasulullah and his Ahlul Bayt. In fact, this is what our entire lecture is about. It's about the meaning of being the Shia of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So inshallah, as we give our salutations and blessings and greetings to the Prophet, let us do so with enthusiasm and with understanding that this salawat, that it benefits us when we give the salat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Continuing our talk, our lecture about what it means to be the true followers, the Shia of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. We mentioned that the Imams alayhim salatu wasalam themselves, and very early in our lecture series, we particularly pointed out one of the statements by Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, where he distinguished between individuals who make the claim that they are his followers. He says that our Shia, they have a particular trait. A person who claimed to be the follower, the Shia of Ahlul Bayt. He says, so our Shia have very particular traits. He says, and don't claim that so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not say to you that you are lying and you're not telling the truth. But rather say that you're from Muhibbina and Mawalina. Say that you're either from our lovers or you're from our patrons. We've discussed quite a bit about what it means to be a lover. Imam Ridha alayhi salatu wasalam, he distinguished for us very clearly, he says that our Shia are those who follow us fi jami'i awamirina wa nawahina. So everything that we have commanded and we have prohibited, then they follow us. So these are our Shia. But the muhibbin, these are individuals that they differ. They disobey fi kathir. That most of their actions are not coinciding with the actions and the commands and the prohibition of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Wow. They follow some, but they leave many. These are individuals, as we stated, that their status could be in jeopardy, could be like that of Shimon ibn al-Jawshan, who claimed to love Imam Hassan al-Hussein, but we see that on the day of Ashura in the land of Karbala, the crime that he has committed against the family of Rasulullah. That love that has not taken place and that has not settled in the heart could be like those individuals in Kufa who invited Imam Hussein and said that we will stand with you against oppression and injustice. But when the time came, they stood against Imam Hussein and they did not stand with Imam Hussein. In order to safeguard ourselves from that, then we must truly take lesson from the events that took place in Muharram, from the life of Imam Hussein. To safeguard ourselves, to safeguard our families, to safeguard the Ummah from that, then we must also instill that understanding in our next generation. As we mentioned, and as Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi afsalatu wasalam, he pointed out in the dua that he makes for his children, that make them from among those who are righteous, those who are conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who have insight, basara, and basira. That will safeguard them. Perhaps one of the examples that we may find in history, perhaps it did not last that long, that generation of the Turkomans that we mentioned before, the Qaraqunlu, who once ruled over the northern part, northwestern part of Iran, covering northern Iraq, and up until Turkey, encompassing the city of Mosul, as we mentioned before, which now we see who Mosul is conquered by. Perhaps one of the examples is one of the princesses of the Qaraqunlu by the name of Amira Araish Begum bint Amir Iskandar. Amir Iskandar, he was one of the tribe, he was one of the chiefs of the Turkomans. But within history, they say that these were Shia, and apparently they were perhaps strong Shia at one point. Some of the historians, they point to the ring, or they show as evidence the ring and what was engraved on the ring of this princess. On this ring, she had engraved Dar Mashkal Dunya Dar Ma'arak Mahshar Az Ali Ali Guyat Ara Ishi Iskandar. Showing her idea and her understanding of how she should connect to the family of Ahlul Bayt, the family of Rasulullah. Saying Dar Mashkal Dunya, that with regards to our worldly affairs and whatever we engage in this world and we confront, dar ma'araki mahshar, from our dunya, from the dunya to the point that we are about to enter into paradise, the time which we are raised, said as Ali Guyat. Then we have to look towards the family of Ali. That family of Ali, which is no other than the family of Rasulullah.
اللهم صل على
محمد. That if we want to be successful, in other words, if we want to be successful in this life and the next, then the example that we should follow is that of the Ahlul Bayt. This is the example. That by following that example truly, then we will safeguard ourselves, as we mentioned yesterday, from the two extremes. One extreme of not following the Ahlul Bayt and think that we're following them and going beyond what they themselves have stated about themselves and about reality. Or going to the other extreme of completely cutting ourselves off from the Ahlul Bayt and becoming their enemies. So safeguard ourselves from that, to safeguard our next generation from that, then we have to teach them so that they will have this basira, this insight, in order to distinguish between what is right and what is wrong. It is emphasized over and over and in different ways within the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhim afdhalus salatu wassalam. One example is that of Imam Sadiq alayhi afdhalus salatu wassalam. That's a very interesting example when we take in the entire dynamics of who the Imam is speaking to, and of course the hadith itself, the statement in and of itself. Imam Sadiq alayhi afdhalus salam is talking with one of his companions by the name of Sama'a ibn Mahran. And I will come back to this individual and his character and who exactly Sama'a ibn Mahran is, and at least what happened to him in history, as it's recorded in some of the books of history and the books of biography. So anyway, Imam Sadiq, he encounters Sama'a ibn Mahran, he tells him, اِعْرِفُ الْعَقْلَ وَجُنْدَ وَالْجَحْلَ وَجُنْدَ تَحْتَدُ. He's giving Sama'a a formula for guidance. That how do you ensure that you are on the path of guidance? The Imam says, understand and know. I'rifu. I'rifu is more than just simply having knowledge of. But I'rifu means having deep understanding of, contemplating, reflecting. So he says, know what the aql is, the intellect is. And it aids to the aql, to the intellect. Those things which support and bolster the intellect. Likewise, you should have understanding of what is jahl, what is ignorance, and what things increase or aid and support ignorance. The Imam states that if you understand these two things, the intellect and its support, the ignorance and its support, tahtar, you'll be guided. With that, you will have insight, basira, understanding what is aql, understanding what is jahl, understanding what things will increase my intellect, my understanding, what things will remove it. So then Sama'a says, so what are these things? We don't know. What is the intellect and those things which aid the intellect, and what is ignorance, and what is the thing that aids and supports or increases ignorance? So Imam Sadiq alayhi wasallam, he begins to express to him what exactly the intellect is and what jahl is. It's a very long hadith, so I'm not going to go over all of it now, but inshallah we'll come back to it. Because in this hadith, we also understand who are the mawali. So far we've spoken about and given some characteristics of the Shia, those who the Imams say that these individuals are our Shia, our true followers, and who the Muhibbin are, who those individuals who are the lovers of Ahlul Bayt, but they have not excelled to that level that they are the true Shia. And in between these two groups are the Mawaleen. And it becomes clear in this narration to Sama'a, this encounter with Sama'a, who are the Mawaleen? So Imam Sadiq, he tells Sama'a, he starts out with something that many of you perhaps are familiar with, or you've perhaps heard before, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the things that He created was the intellect. One of the first things He created, intellect. He told the intellect to come, intellect came. He told it to go, it went. He told it to come back, and it came back. He created jahl, darkness, ignorance. He told it to go, and it went. He told it to come back, it did not come back. And then Imam Sadiq, he adds to this, and some of it is perhaps metaphysical, that, again, what exactly is this intellect? So then Imam Sadiq, he says, and for that intellect, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created 75 junud, 75 aids and supports that will increase the intellect, that will support the intellect. Then Imam, he tells him, he says, and when jahl, when ignorance, whatever that ignorance may be, that entity may be, so it called out to Allah, that Allah, that I'm a creation just like the intellect is a creation. And you're creating for it 75 aids and support. What about me? What about your justice? So Allah created 75 Junud, aids, supports that will increase ignorance. So then, Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, just to give you one example, the minister, this is important, the prime minister, Imam Sadiq, he says, "Wal khair wazir la aql." وَجَعَلَ ذِدُّهُ الشَّرْ وَهُوَ وَزِيرُ الْجَهْلِ. It will suffice for this for right now. But we'll go into the other parts of it. So Imam Sadiq, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made goodness, righteousness. He says, this is the wazir, the prime minister, that which is at the forefront of intellect. So the thing which will increase your intellect, and all the other junud, if we, inshallah, when we go into it, if we get to, definitely won't get to explain all 75s, but at least the ones that we may cover in our lectures, you'll see that at the head of it is khayr, is good. And they all return to something that is good, something that is righteous, something that is good in nature. And the prime minister of ignorance is shar, wickedness, evilness, bad. And likewise, those things which will cause mankind to fall into ignorance, whatever it may be, that at the head of it is bad. It returns in its nature, or at its core, it is something that is bad. Imam Sadiq, he proceeds to list all of the junud al-aql or junud al-jahl, all the aids of the intellect and that of ignorance. And then he states, لا يجتمع هذه الخصال كلها من أجداد العقل إلا في نبي أو وصي نبي أو مؤمن امتحن الله قلبه لِلْإِيمَانِ. He said that these or all of these characteristics and traits of the intellect and the aid and the support of intellect, he says all of them will not be in one place or in one individual unless that individual is a prophet. Meaning a prophet has all 75 aids to the intellect. The wasi of a prophet, those who are the vicegerents of the prophets, our imma alayhi ma'afu salatu wasalam, that all 75 aids and supports to the intellect are also with them. Then he states, and in addition to the prophets and the imams, the awsiya, those vicegerents of the prophet, he says all 75 aids to the intellect are also encompassed in another group of individuals, that they're not prophets, nor are they imams or the wasi of the prophet. They're not the vicegerents of the prophet. But all 75 aids to the intellect are in them as well. What is this group? The imam, he explains it, he says, this group is مُؤْمِنٌ إِمْتَحَنَ اللَّهُ قَلْبُهُ لِلْإِيمَانِ. The believer, the mu'min, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tested his heart with belief and faith. Imam, he explains it this way, but when we look into the other riwayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi ma'afu wa salatu wa salam, we understand that this group of individuals are those who the imams, they call it, that these are our Shia. These are our Shia. In other words, to be the true Shia, one has to have all 75 aids of the intellect with them. Then that person will be considered what the imam said, that this is among our Shia. Hada Shia. Because there are several hadith where the imams, they coin this term and they use this terminology. مُؤْمِنٌ إِمْتَحَنَ اللَّهُ قَلْبُهُ لِلْإِيمَانِ. They say that one of the things that test is that the hearts of those believers has been tested with the wilayat of Ahlul Bayt al Imam. So it's clear that these are the Shia of Ahlul Bayt. The true Shia, the ones that they claim that. These, yes, this individual without doubt is our Shia. Then the Imam, he states, وَأَمَّا سَائِرُ مَوَالِينَ. Those who are our patrons, مَوَالِينَ. He says, well, with regards to those other individuals who are our patrons, who cling to our walaya, that these individuals, that yes, their love is confirmed for us. There's no doubt, they are muhib. That their love for Ahlul Bayt is not one that is waning or swerving. No, they are firm in their love for Ahlul Bayt. Not like those of the people of Kufa, not like that of Shimr ibn Adi Joshan, who made an empty claim that, no, I love al-Hassan ibn Hussein. No, their love is firm. So the Imam, he calls him Mawalina. أَمَّا سَائِرُ مَوَالِينَ. What he states about them, he says that these individuals, he says, لَا يَخْلُو مِنْهُمْ أَنْ يُكُونَ فِيهِمْ بَعْضُ هَذِهِ الْجُنُودِ. But they only have some of these junood, a few of them. Could be even to 74 of them. Even if it's 74 but not the 75th, then they're considered mawaleen. Yes, their daraja their level is greater than the one who only has one. But since it is not all 75, then your mom is not considering that individual. That this is from the monk Arishika. It's Mawalina. He says that those individuals who were from Mawalina, he says that they have some of them, and it is such that they will yastakmila, yastakmila, that these traits will be complete in them. That, in other words, their responsibility and their duty is to ensure that they are honing these traits and these qualities so that they can reach or they can acquire all 75 traits of the intellect and aids of the intellect. He says, yes, they will continue, they will strive to make all of these 75s in them, and once it is complete in them, then they will become among those true Shia of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So now we understand what is the difference, or at least part of the difference between the Muhib, the Muwali, and the Shia of Muhammad wa Ali. That those 75 traits must be complete. And if you want to understand and get take an example, who has all 75 of these traits? Look towards Karbala. Look towards those individuals who stood with Imam Hussein. And if you examine their lives, there are books that write, that are written about these individuals, examine their lives. And you examine the qualities that Imam Jafar al-Sadiq alayhi hafizahullah al-Sadiq, he states in this hadith about the Junud al-Aql, the aids of the intellect, you'll see that they are in those individuals. It was in those individuals who, yes, who may have had an excuse not to go to Karbala, in other individuals, but they are there. So it's not an impossible feat that, oh, it's impossible that, no, it's possible. And we who are the Mawali, inshallah, hopefully Shia, we have to strive to get all of these traits, all of these qualities. With those qualities, again, an individual will have that discerning eye to understand what is right and what is wrong, what choices to make in life, how to navigate through the trials and tribulations of this world. You have intellect. The fact, as we mentioned in Surah Safat, that several commentators, they stated that the meaning, or at least one of the meanings, I believe Allama Tabatabai, he stated this in Tafsir al-Mizan, that one of the reasons for which Ibrahim, he was considered to be among the Shia of Nuh, وَإِنَّ مِنْ شِيَعَتِهِ لَإِبْرَاهِيم, is because not only like the Prophet Nuh, who was Ulul Azam, who was one of the five great prophets, and Ibrahim was one of the five great prophets, but they both, when they delivered the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to their people, they used their intellect. They used reasoning. This is one of the qualities or one of the traits that in some of the other commentators they state. that was based on their logic and المنطق والعقل, their intellectual proofs that they set forth for their nation, for their people. They didn't just say, well, believe because I said to believe. No, they came and they proved. And one of the interesting things, if you look at the story of Nuh in the Quran, you collect all of the verses about it, then it shows. It's clear. Or if we read the life of Nuh, it said that and during the time of Nuh, that right before he actually began his message and he began to call people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it said that people, they lived in peace and they lived in harmony. But then one group, istakbar, became arrogant and wanted to control. And so they began to oppress the others. And so Noah, he came, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them to remove this oppression. Call people towards Tawheed. One of the things, if you look up the laws of Noah, some they say that there were about seven laws of Noah. One of those laws is, and this is what he was advocating among his people, he says that, well, let's set up a court system. And in the court system, then the court will judge between what is right and what is wrong. Is this not fair? Is this not make sense? Is it not logical that if two people are disputing, then you set up a just court system and you discern what is right and what's wrong? But the people, they didn't want that. And in fact, and also in the Quran, it says that those individuals, the malak, the ones who had rose up over the others, who are oppressing the others, they had no argument against Noah. They said, we think that you're lying. No evidence. No, you're telling us this. No, we think that you're lying. Rather than use their intellect, say, okay, if he's lying, then okay, bring proof that he is lying. No, we just think. Perhaps, maybe, an assumption. So, those individuals who are the true Shia, they follow in the same path. Same path as the prophets, the same path as the A'imma alayhim afdhalus salatu wassalam. If you collected all of the statements, the lectures, the khutbah of Imam Hussein from the time that he was leaving Medina until he was in Karbala, read them, study them. You see how much logic the Imam was using with these individuals. Discourage them from trying to discourage them and dissuade them from doing something that was wrong, that at its core is shar, is wicked. That it will take the ummah back to a state of jahiliyyah. But they didn't listen. On the other side, we see individuals, as I said, that if we examine their life, that they had all 75 traits of the intellect. Among those individuals was an elderly man. He was in his 70s, by the name of Habib ibn Madhan.